Listen up. The views and opinions of this radio show and podcast are prepared and provided by Philip D. Blackman in his personal capacity. The opinions expressed in this show are my own, and they do not reflect the view of this radio station, broadcasting platform, or any organization Philip D. Blackman is a member of. The material and information presented in this broadcast is for general information purposes only. Any and all media presented are the property of their respective owners, and its use does not imply endorsement or opposition to any specific organization, product, or service. Let's get started.
Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Hey, hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the episode of the Philip D. Blackman Show. I am your host, Philip D. Blackman, and welcome to the fastest hour in radio. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is, can you believe that, like, Thanksgiving is just in a few days? I mean, it seems like we just started the month of November. I don't know where it's gone, but here we are. We're getting ready for Thanksgiving. And, you know, I did a show October the 30th, right before the holidays. You know, they say the official holiday season begins in November. I argue that it begins in October. But truly, the holiday season is year-round when you start to consider all of the holidays that we have, these moments of gathering, these moments of unity and family and friends and everything else is supposed to be happy. Well, here we are now. As we step into this season of joy, family, friends, fellowship, there's a lot of people who find it. This time of the year is the hardest, and no one knows it but them because they keep it to themselves. Either they're mourning the loss of a loved one, maybe being a family member, friend, or both who has perished during this holiday season. Maybe they're struggling with their health or their finances, or they're already survivors of depression. There's a whole lot of reasons tonight, ladies and gentlemen, why we're going to be talking about the holidays being difficult for a lot of people. So tonight's show, I'm going to be talking to you about all of you who are having a hard time wrapping your minds and your hearts and your arms around the holidays, going against what the social norm is going to tell you you should probably be doing. I mean, you're going through something right now, and maybe that's too much to expect the expected response during the holidays. You know, it's okay. I understand. So tonight, we're going to discuss some of the reasons that really hinder our holidays and what we can do to overcome them. Well, ladies and gentlemen, before we get the show started, I want to go and throw out the laundry here. So, hey, the Philip D. Blackman Show is alive and well on Facebook, we're on YouTube, and we're on LinkedIn. Just type in The Philip D. Blackman Show. If you're Twitter space or you're Twitch, thank you, Elon, at the PDB Show is how you're going to get in touch with me. Guys, thank you all so much for joining me. So if you want to leave a comment or you want to participate in the show in any way, social media are great options. I can share your comments in the chat or you can call or text show at any time, 409-245-9753. So to all my listeners across the nation, around the globe, guys, thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you so much for joining me for this Mental Health Monday, episode number 306, The Holidays Can Be Difficult. Man, don't we all know? So, guys, for my first-time listeners, as always, we do it for every show. You know, this week being a holiday, being Thanksgiving, this will be our only show for the week. But I'll tell you something, you know, especially when we start getting around the holidays, we really look at, we celebrate the things that we have, and we mourn the things that we don't. Well, this year, ladies and gentlemen, there's a lot of people you know, sitting around the Thanksgiving table that's going to be looking at an empty chair. And that empty chair was once fulfilled by a member of the law enforcement community or the veteran community. But it's the law enforcement that I always try to open up my shows with by giving them special special recognition, because man, we've got holidays for veterans, we've got marches and parades and assemblies and speeches, and everybody's got all these things for veteran specific, but we really don't really have anything that I've been able to find for our law enforcement. So one of the ways that we try to show our appreciation to our men and women in the law enforcement community is this opening segment called End of Watch. Now, this is our way of honoring the fallen men and women in the law enforcement community. All right. So last year, just to give you some retrospect, last year we had 650 officers die in the line of duty. And as of this show, we've lost 195. You know, one of the things that you, if you ever, you know, when you track the fallen law enforcement, you usually will go to a website called ODMP, Officer Down Memorial Page. Man, when you open it up, you can look at all the faces, you can look at all the places, you can read all their stories. But one thing that you will read that's very, very, very evident is one of the biggest quotes that I think that's ever really impacted me. And it says that when a police officer is killed, it's not just an agency that loses an officer, it's an entire nation. Man, that is a mouthful. You know, we honor all of our officers who serve their country and serve their community, and we specifically highlight for this segment here those who have given their lives in service to their community and their country. We highlight a different officer every week, beginning with our Monday show. Well, friends, this story here with Niagara Falls, New York, Police Detective Christina Zell. Here it goes to show that there is still people, still first responders, heroes who are still getting bit by different viruses. Not every police officer who dies of something tragic and violent. Well, tragic is always tragic for someone to lose a life, but hopefully you understand what I'm talking about. Well, Niagara Falls, New York Police Detective Christina Zell, she died of COVID, which means it's still there, you know, contrary to what anybody says. And it's not really fair to minimize it because, you know, the great big disinformation that's been going around from both sides of the aisle. But, you know, guys, this we have police officers, we have first responders, we have people who are out there serving every day, putting themselves in the line of danger, standing on that line between freedom and chaos that I always wrap up my shows with. But in some of these cases, like with Detective Zell, not all enemies are visible. So ladies and gentlemen, I want to wrap up one more episode honoring Niagara Falls, New York Police Detective Christina Zell in this opening segment, End of Watch.
The Philip D. Blackman Show proudly salutes Detective Christina Marie Zell, 47, of the Niagara Falls Police Department in New York, who died on November 7, 2022, from complications as a result of contracting COVID-19 in the line of duty. Detective Zell served her department with honor for 22 years in the Criminal Investigation Division. Her brother Jay said of his sister, "My sister has always been my hero. I always knew she was a badass, but the stories I've heard from friends and colleagues about the things she's done have just been incredible. She was always the first one to show up and do things for people. She's the most incredible person I've ever known." Detective Zell is survived by her parents and two brothers. On behalf of the Philip D. Blackman Show and a grateful nation, thank you for your service, Detective Zell. Niagara Falls, New York Detective Christina Marie Zell. End of Watch, November 7th, 2022. Rest in peace, ma'am.
Dear mainland, aloha. Now we know you guys love Friday. You even thank the creator for it, TGIF. But why leave out Thursday? Maybe you call Thursday Little Friday and be thankful for it too.
Happy Little Friday.
It's Monday, brother.
Happy Teeny Tiny Friday.
One life, right? Mahalo.
Longboard Island Lager and Big Wave Golden Ale from Kona Brewing.
All right, friends, welcome back to your Teeny Tiny Friday, which is this is your Monday's Mental Health Episode 306. Man, the holidays can be difficult. You know, I always do these shows every year because they are, there's this expectation, this drive that says that we all should subscribe to a certain way of being. And anyone who doesn't bring joy and happiness during the holiday season, of course, these people are, there's something wrong with them. They're toxic, right? Well, maybe they're just having a hard time. And we need to remember, for those family members who maybe decline our invitation for whatever holiday gathering, it's not that they have a problem with you or they have a distaste for you. Maybe it's simply that they just are having a hard time going through their moment that they're in right now. We've all had them, but we tend to forget just how many horrible and hard memories that we've lived in our life. Man, I'm 43 years old. I'll be 44 in March. And one of the things that I always go back and I tell people is, no matter what you're going through right now, I want you to think about it. Think about your life and everything that you've done, man. You have successfully navigated the worst moments of your life, and you've come outstanding. But just because you have navigated those worst moments and come outstanding doesn't necessarily mean that everyone else should be able to do the same. Depression affects us all equally. PTSD affects us all equally, meaning that it does have an effect on us, but the quantity, how it quantifies, how it affects us is all very, very completely different. I mean, everything, pain, weight, there's things in this life that we should never try to quantify. And I think depression and PTSD is one of those things. It's not one of those things that we should compare journeys. Well, Blackman, you've been to Iraq a couple of times. You were a bomb tech. You've done a lot of crazy stuff. And man, I mean, I'm just a store clerk for the local HEB or Brookshire's, or maybe I'm telling myself Walmart. And I think that's universal across the nation. And I think that's a big problem that we always tend to go back and fall into this idea that what we do in our life isn't as significant as what anybody else does. And look, if that's your own hangup, that's your own hangup. But how dare you or anyone else minimize your contributions to this society? I mean, because I really believe that the holidays that were, not just Thanksgiving and Christmas, because we talk about the holiday season, we stick to Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, right? But the holidays happen year round. There's year around gatherings that happen that for different reasons that people celebrate these holidays for. And the holidays, by and large, they are a time for joyful celebration, for merrymaking, family and friends and good tidings, abundant generosity, right? Well, maybe. I mean, not everybody greets the season with a jolliness of old Saint Nick, do they? I mean, for some people, the holidays, it can be just downright depressing. There's a lot that's been written about the holiday blues. I did a show on it, I think it was October 30, 2022 this year. But as it really turns out, not all of it's really accurate. I try to, when I do my shows, man, it's really hard to get through the fluff a lot of times. And a good example is suicide, right? The suicide myth. We have this great big idea that suicides dramatically increase over the holidays, and it's repeated so often that it's accepted and it's reported as truth. But there was a 2014 analysis by the Annenberg Public Policy Center around it, and it found that about 70% of the news reports published on the topic in the previous holiday season perpetuated this myth without any correction, a proportion that's remained essentially unchanged since 2010. Now, in contrast to the oft-repeated misperceptions, the most recent suicide statistics from the U.S. CDC from 2010, it indicates that suicides are actually lowest during the months of November, December, and January, and they peaked around April to August. Now, it's not really clear why the suicide holiday myth is so persistent. I don't understand it. I think people, it's kind of like the whole 22 veterans a day. Even there's a lot of veterans out there, a lot of people who call themselves reputable sources, right, who will stand on a stage in front of a crowd or stand behind a microphone and talk about this 22 veterans a day. It's a farce. It's not true. Now, I'm not going to say that, 22 veterans or one veteran is entirely too many. Of course, we know that. I look at that at this point, as much as it's been said, it's a talking point. because you're not really addressing that 22 veterans a day issue, right? But I'm getting sidetracked here. You know, there's a lot of perceptions about the holiday blues that likely play a role, but statistics simply don't support the connection. You know, the Annenberg Center experts who have tracked media coverage of suicide rates since the 1999 holiday season, they say this kind of inaccurate reporting, even if it's well-intended, it reinforces this false belief that could really hamper suicide prevention and education efforts for a lot of sufferers or a lot of survivors. The American Foundation for Suicide Prevention offers free resources for journalists to help improve suicide reporting. So if you're someone who speaks on mental health, who speaks on suicide prevention, who speaks on depression, you owe it to your audience. You owe it to yourself, not just your audience, but more specifically yourself, to understand the data that's out there. Go find the resources that are out there. And if you're going to report on something like suicides, the one thing that you've got to make damn sure of is that you're always accurate. Because again, going back to that 22 veterans a day, man, you know, no matter what the message is that's said on the stage, once I hear 22 veterans a day, they lose all credibility because that has been debunked. And you know what? Since I'm bringing it up here, I want to see if I can pull it up here. Because the 22 veterans a day, all right, so I wrote this, and I'll read it to you why I say it's a farce, right? So although I do appreciate the intent, I do wish the veteran community and just society at large would educate themselves before spouting that 22 veterans a day mantra, right? You know, that it cycled the internet, and that number, it's a BS number. You know, this figure, you know, 22 veterans a day commit suicide. You know, it's widely touted by politicians and media outlets and veteran service organizations, fundraisers, among others. And it comes from the Department of Veterans Affairs 2012 suicide data report, which analyzed the death certificates from 21 states. Now, we got 50. Now, I'm laying out the groundwork why this is a farce. They analyzed the death certificates of 21 states from 1999 to 2011, and it's not provided within the right context. But the report itself, it's cited by the Washington Post, and it warned that, quote, it is recommended, in the report it says, quote, it is recommended that the estimated number of veterans be interpreted with caution due to the use of data from sample states and existing evidence of uncertainty in veteran identifiers on U.S. death certificates. So as an example, the average age of a veteran suicide within that data set from 99 to 2011 was nearly 60 years old, which means it's not representative of the Iraq and Afghan veterans war generation. However, it does point out that we do have veterans who commit suicide. That is that will never be debated. But if you're going to say, if you're going to re-spout the 22 veterans a day, even when the report itself says that, hey, this is probably a bad idea, man, read the report before you make that your mantra. But there's something much deeper, much further beyond the suicide myth. You know, holiday suicide misconceptions aside, you know, it's a fact that people are clinically depressed at a higher, the people who are clinically depressed, they are at a higher risk for suicide. Up to 90% of the people who die by suicide, they have clinical depression or some other diagnosable mental disorder, and it usually co-occurs with substance abuse. Now, adverse or traumatic life events, especially in combination with clinical depression, these things increase the risk of suicide. The National Institute of Mental Health offers information for the public on the risk factors and the warning signs of suicide. I've been doing research all morning, looking for resources for first responders. And man, the amount of information is out there. You know, the Dana Alliance for Brain Initiatives, professor of epidemiology and psychiatry, her name is Myrna Wiseman. She actually points to a really important and troubling finding from a recent study that found a sharp increase in suicide among middle-aged, working-class white males, even as suicides decreased for minorities or stayed relatively stable overall. It's only by a close analysis of subgroups where the worrisome increase in this particular population is revealed. There's an upward trend that was persistent and really large enough to drive up midlife mortality rates of the demographic of the white male, right? And we're speaking specifically on this report. So the authors, one of them's a Nobel Prize laureate, you know, they speculate that the rise in suicides was linked to the worsening economic situation for middle-class Americans. Here we are in 2022. Inflation is right there close to the record number. There's a lot of people this year for Thanksgiving, for Christmas. You know, there's a lot less presents under the tree because, you know, food costs more, everything costs more, and, you know, that can create a sense of dread. I remember going through a time when Tammy and I first got together. You know, we were poor. Hell, we're still poor, but, man, I remember, you know, looking under one of our first Christmases together. I remember looking under the tree, and there's only like two or three presents there. And, you know, I get it. Presents are not what the holidays are for, but it's the aesthetics, the things that make it like, hey, you know, we're okay. And, you know, with when we're talking, you know, increased financial pressures of gift buying and of entertaining family, of traveling or attending a social gathering during the season, you know, these things, when you check that bank account and you see you got more money than you do, more month than you do money, that in itself is depressing as hell. I mean, for a lot of people, the holidays are stressful because there's this expectation of what we must do. We must buy presents. We must travel. We must bring gifts. We must bring food. We must drive point A to point B. There's a lot of financial responsibilities that come in. And it's these tough financial times that's difficult for a lot of people to meet those expectations either of other people or expectations of themselves. I mean, how can one tell if holiday sadness, if the depression that we're having is just a transient moodiness or a sign of true clinical depression that we're having? And I think it's really difficult to generalize. I mean, I don't really think that we can do anything but speculate. You know, people who have recurrent major depression or have a family or even a personal history of major depression, and those who develop the blues at the holidays or any time really should be observed carefully to ensure that they get proper treatment before they develop a full depressive episode. This is one of these things you got to get on top of early. The longer you put it out, the heavier and the bigger it's going to grow. I mean, you can sometimes nip it in the bud. All you got to do is just be a little proactive. Quit being so scared. Again, I love the acronym FEAR, F-E-A-R, false evidence appearing real. What are you afraid of? Yeah, I think a lot of the fear that happens is in the 6 inches between our earlobes, that gray matter, because we only have speculation. We don't have deliberate facts, and oftentimes I really believe that the fear, the emotion itself, is what keeps a lot of people from getting help. You know, for people that don't fit into those categories, you know, I mean, there's going to be episodes that are probably a transit, and they're going to pass with time and some positive experience interactions with people with whom they feel close. It will pass. It always will pass. It'll always be better. But clinical depression, right, is defined as that sadness, right, that lack of pleasure from formerly enjoying activities. That sadness that persists more than 2 weeks is what they say. If you're sad for more than 2 weeks, or if it coexists with any other symptoms and it's severe enough to interfere with a normal day-to-day activity, then chances are you may be depressed. And it's okay. It doesn't make you weak. It doesn't make you soft. It makes you a normal person having a normal reaction to an abnormal set of circumstances. You know, there's no definitive exam, like there's no blood test or brain scan that provide an objective diagnosis or differentiate major depression from a short-term sadness. It's all, the battlefield has to be read right then. And it's not always right, but it's one of those things you got to trust the process. If you're listening to a medical health professional and they're saying everything that just does not make sense to you, then it may be time to speak up. Maybe find a new healthcare provider, because not all mental health practitioners are created equal. But I think instead these clinicians, they really rely on where they come up with their diagnosis, where they come up to maybe help you figure out what's going on, is they rely on a personal and family history and really a careful inventory. I love that word, of symptoms to make a diagnosis. We talk about taking inventory of yourself all the time. Find out the good things and the bad things, the things that pay you, the things that drain you, the things that are energy givers versus the things that are energy takers. And once you start to recognize the hard part, the sad part, the rough part about whatever you're going through, that's where you got to start getting rid of your coal stock, right? Get rid of the things that don't help you, that don't bring you any benefit. I mean, it may seem counterintuitive at a time of supposed joy and goodwill and can make people sad, or even sadder in the case of an underlying depression that's worsened. Yet the heightened social interactions that we have every day, or the lack thereof for others, they're often the source of your problems. I mean, holidays can be a time when things that trigger depression, grief, disputes, transitions, you know, they are in abundance. You know, we have loved ones. We all have loved ones. This is my very first Thanksgiving Christmas without my dad, right? So I understand. This is our second year without my mother-in-law. I mean, loved ones may have died or they're not able to be nearby because they're geographically separated. So what happens? A person is stuck alone and they're grieving. And of course, when that happens, disputes arise that may be suppressed during the rest of the year because people, they're just not seeing each other. Or they don't have the same expectations they might have around the holidays. But since the transitions, all the normal and abnormal kinds of change in one's life, such as children leaving home or, you know, moving, you know, that's a big one that a lot of people do around the holidays. You know, these things make it very difficult to see loved ones or even experience the same interactions on the same playing field. And it's all these dynamics that can increase the heightened stress that you're probably experiencing as you're starting to get ready to plan for whatever holiday that's coming up, be it Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, Kwanzaa, whatever. But, you know, it's that chronic stress in particular, right, that increases the risk for our major depression. But even acute or short-time stress can be problematic, especially in someone who has a personal history of depression. I have. You know, and I'm going to go ahead and speculate that probably a lot of you guys do too, but, you know, the stress of holidays, it's no different. I mean, I'd rather view holiday stress like any other type of psychological or emotional stress. I mean, holidays, they're stressful for people, you know, who are seeking, who seeing their families for long hours. You know, I'm telling you, we all have family members who are okay in small doses. But what happens, it becomes very difficult when you have these complicated relationships. You know, others, they want to be with their families and friends, but they can't. That creates some stress. That creates some depression. Maybe it's that military service or as a first responder, losing a coworker. Maybe your work assignments. We got to get this in before the deadline. All these things are stressors that we bring into our life that really makes it hard for us to wrap our minds around how to navigate our holiday season. I mean, they're a time when people remember family and other important life events, so it can be tough for people who have lost loved ones. But for a lot of people who live in northern climates, the holidays, they fall in the dead of winter. There's a lot of places right now that's covered in snow. You know, the days are short, the nights are long, and the weather patterns may mean days on end without sunlight. And that creates that thing called seasonal affective disorder, SAD, right? And there's you got your winter SAD and your summer SAD. People in the winter, just by default of the environment, the weather, it makes them more depressed. And then you got your summer folks who are the same way. All of that sunlight makes them depressed. But seasonal affective disorder, that could be what you're going through. Maybe not. We'll find out at the end of this holiday season, this little block that we're going to have all on top of each other every month. But if it still hangs out after it's over, then might be worth something to look into. I mean, it's a well-described depressive condition linked to the lack of sunlight or maybe just the overwhelming heat like we have down here in South Texas. But that seasonal affective disorder, it can take hold even in the fall, you know, as the days begin to shorten. I've recognized there's been a change in me as the time has changed, you know, not getting used to looking outside, seeing it's dark at 5:30, you know, makes me feel like, where did my day go? Well, shit, my day really has just got started. You know, it's most common among people who live far from the equator who have a history of depression or even a bipolar disorder, but the exact mechanisms of how decreased sunlight, it causes an increase in depressive symptoms. It's susceptible to people. It's not really clearly understood. The one thing about the brain is they'll never learn everything about it. You know, age, gender, family history, all these things play a role in how we feel. If others in your family have had depression, I'm going to speculate that pretty much all of us have that. Yeah, I think that if we have a family history, then that definitely gives us an increased risk for depression. But the good news is the seasonal affective disorder, it can be treated effectively with light therapy. Who would have thought that sitting under a UV lamp, I mean, if it's good enough to grow your vegetables, and I guess it's good enough to grow your psyche, but in people who don't respond to light therapy, that's when you get into antidepressants and talk therapy. Those things are maybe warning. There's nothing wrong with taking medication. There's nothing wrong with seeking talk therapy. Just like there would be nothing wrong for you going to a specialist because you got a torn shoulder. You don't know how to fix that, so you go to a pro. So same thing happens in your mind. You don't know how to fix this. No matter how much you think you do, you don't know how to fix this. So you need to go to someone to help you, put you on the lift, check your fluids, right, and make sure you're good. You know, the holidays can be very difficult. for a couple of different reasons, I think. You know, the first is if you had a loss, you know, the first holiday in particular, it can be difficult. I've been walking my mother through this whole year, and this year's going to be no different because this is our first. I've walked my wife through everyone since, you know, since her parents have passed, you know. But these days, they can be difficult for a lot of us. I mean, like so much else, I mean, this year has its own oddities. You know, we're all told correctly to keep celebrations down to only people in our houses, but or else the terrorists will win. The Russians, no, nothing so simple. It's the COVID, right? It's vaccines. It's pandemic. There's a lot of panic porn out there that is enough to drive anybody crazy and make them completely depressed. So if you can't see a loved one for whatever reason and you can't celebrate the holidays you usually do surrounded by those you love, it can make it a very difficult time in your life, especially if you grew up with a very tight-knit family. You know, for some people, the anticipation of a holiday and the excitement of getting ready results in a letdown when it's over, right? It wasn't everything you expected it to be, especially when the holiday itself doesn't measure up to what you saw in your mind. But finally, there's a letdown after the holiday when people leave, when all the busyness just stops. You don't have something to point towards, so you feel demoralized, you feel depressed, and you don't know why. And as we all know, it's a very unusual year in multiple ways, especially if you're following the politics of our nation. You know, not being able to see your loved ones, we usually see, it can be distressing. It can be depressing. And if you add that to the anxiety people feel about themselves and others staying healthy, then you have a mix that's going to cause a lot of stress. But one of the big issues we have is this kind of stress. It's not controllable. I mean, if we're stressed by something going on at home, we might be able to modify it wherever it is. And that's clearly not possible when you're dealing with a pandemic of dumbassery. So friends, I'd like for you to stick around real quick through this commercial break, and we're going to move on to our next segment that examines one of the most common reasons people struggle during the holiday season. And that's where we're talking about mourning a family member. Stick around.
Paralyzed Veterans of America helps people with disabilities, veterans and civilians alike, regain their independence and move forward in life. Since 1946, Paralyzed Veterans of America is a leading steadfast advocate for quality health care, spinal cord research and education, veterans benefits, and civil rights for paralyzed veterans and all people with disabilities, and offers support for caregivers. PVA's mission? To empower America's brave men and women to regain what they fought for, their freedom and independence. If you are a disabled veteran seeking support, or if you are a veteran or civilian and you wish to give support, call Paralyzed Veterans of America today, toll-free, at 1-800-424-8200, or visit pva.org. That's 1-800-424-8200. Or online at pva.org.
All right, friends, welcome back. 306 Mental Health Monday. The holidays can be difficult. You know, family and togetherness, they're themes for the holidays. And I think that's where it makes it a lot of people, makes the holidays very difficult for people who are grieving the loss of their loved ones. But for a lot of people, you know, they've had family members who have a way of the mouth, you know, that makes them very, very difficult to be around, right? They just kind of let their jaws get a little loose. And, you know, for others, you know, they have a family members who are planning out way out months before the holidays. You know, they still share their presence. They eat large meals and they visit with friends and even sing carols, but it all can still seem pretty subdued. And I think that's the subject of tonight's segment, The Breakdown. So I'm not real sure what constitutes as fresh grief, right? You know, I mean, I think, you know, even though you have people who've passed, who've left, you know, within a year or two, I mean, it's really up to you to determine how that grief, how relevant, how real that grief feels. I always, you know, one of the things that we learned when Tammy's father passed, real quick, was the first holidays are always the hardest. And I think if the grief is fresh, all of that holiday cheer that you may see someone presenting themselves, it can seem like a front. I mean, celebrations may underscore truly how alone some people feel. I mean, although grief is necessarily universal for all of us, I mean, it expresses itself in a lot of different ways, and sometimes it resembles a major depression. You know, we're talking about frequent crying spells or depressed mood, sleep disturbances, maybe a loss of appetite. They're very common during your bereavement process. I mean, it's not tidy. It's not an orderly process, and there's no right way to grieve, and so to hell with anyone who tells you otherwise. Every person and every family does it very differently. I mean, these can cause emotions to collide and overlap, especially during the holiday season when the emphasis is on rebirth and renewal. You know, think about what's going to happen right around the first of the month of January, all these New Year's resolutions where everybody's going to change themselves for the better. You know, they rebirth. They want to reinvent themselves. Well, don't wait till the first of the year. Start right now. You know, for anybody out there that's dealing with an illness or a grief or the loss of a loved one, the holidays, they can certainly be a time of sadness and pain, anger, even dread, you know, dreading the holiday cheer. You know, some people, they get very allergic to it real quick. And the reason why is because they just don't want to be happy right now. They want to be lost in their grief, and there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, it can be difficult to cope, especially when you see the sights and sounds of holiday happiness all around you, and you're like, well, there's none for me. It's that ebb and flow of grief that can become overwhelming in ways of memories, particularly during Valentine's Day, Thanksgiving, Christmas, you know, these couples' holidays. But grief can also magnify the stress that's often already part of the holidays. I mean, how can you begin to feel the emptiness you feel when it seems that everyone else is just overflowing with joy? Talk about really setting up a case of alienation. You know, there's a few strategies that you can employ to help you get through this time. And I think the very first one that I always tell people when they're going through something through the mental health side of it is give yourself some grace. You know, one of the best things you can do is give yourself permission to feel whatever it is you're feeling. You don't need anybody's permission to tell you how to feel. You don't need anybody's, you don't need anybody to validate your feelings. How you feel is how you feel. So try not to fall prey to the belief that you got to feel a certain way or you got to do a certain thing in order to make the holiday normal. Because as of right now, if you're going through grief, there's nothing normal about your holiday. If you feel sad, allow those tears to come. If you feel angry, allow yourself to vent. If you feel happiness, feel free to laugh. But you got to be kind to yourself. It's important that you get to the rest and you get the proper rest and the nourishment. What you put in your body has everything to do with what goes on in your head. You need to try to take on more than you need to try not to take on more than you can handle. Take care of you. If you need to be alone, then honor that feeling. If you need to be around people, honor that one too. If you crave company and affection of others, seek it out, but do whatever feels right for you during any difficult time. But the holidays is what we're talking about. But I think the other side that we got to really look at is, you know, asking for and accepting help. Both of those things are the hardest thing for me ever to do, is to ask for help when I need it. And then, of course, to accept the help when I get it. Even if I don't ask for it and somebody offers it, I still feel real weird about taking the help of someone. I don't know, man. It's its own mechanism in my head. I don't understand why it works. I don't understand why it does the way it does, but I don't know. I always feel better when I'm giving as opposed to when I'm receiving. But the holiday season is no time to fake your strength and your independence when you're grieving death. You know, you're going to need help. You're going to need support of other people to get through it, just like you did in everything else in your life. You never have made it through anything in this life by yourself. There was always someone. And I know some of you out there are bullshit. I've done it all by myself. No. Give yourself an honest look at your history. Give yourself an honest examination as you're going through your inventory. You're going to at least find that at least one person provided some kind of help. And I think that's kind of the issue, right? Because we don't do anything by ourselves, it might be good for us to remember that. You know, if you need, you're going to need help. You're going to need support of other people to get through. So don't ever feel like you're a burden, because you wouldn't want your friends and your family to feel like a burden if you was the one giving them help. You know, people generally receive satisfaction and even joy from helping those they care about. But after a death, people often desire to help, but they just simply don't know how. I mean, if you need someone to help you prepare your meals or shop or decorate, this is the time that you need to speak up. Make your needs known. And quite often, they'll be those people who are around you, they're going to be very delighted to feel like they're helping you in some way. Don't rob them of their blessing. But I think the same holds true for your emotional needs. Friends and family members might feel uncomfortable talking to you about your grief because it's the elephant in the room. They might think that you don't want to talk about it or you don't want to be reminded of your pain. You know, the APA, the American Psychological Association, they note that not talking about someone's death leads to isolation. And it discourages those people who are there to support you. But again, you will have to. It'll be up to you, Y-O-U, to tell your loved ones the best way they can help you. Communication is how you get it done. If you want to talk about what you're going through or you just need a shoulder to cry on, let them know. Because they are your support mechanism. Sharing your feelings, it truly is. It feels weird a lot of times, depending on the audience for me, but sharing your feelings is probably one of the best ways that I've learned in my journey to get us through those hard times and to find people that you can talk to that are going to help. You know, friends and relatives, they can be a great support, you know, during times of grief, but they also might be coping with their own feelings or they're so immersed in the holiday they can't offer you the support you need. Doesn't mean you're alone. It just means you need to find another support mechanism. And look, there's not a worse feeling than feeling rejection, like, hey, I need some help. I'm sorry, guy, I can't do it right now. No, I mean, just because that one door closes, because maybe they're going through something, there's always going to be an open door for you. You just got to look and knock. I promise you, people are going to be happy to open the door and greet you with a hug and a smile. But if you're afraid of doing that, man, search online, check with local churches, community centers, funeral homes, hospices, to find groups that suit you because there is a support group for just about every person out there. All you got to do is have the willingness to want to go. You know, support group members, they make friends, lifelong friends. They end up being the source of comfort and care for a lot of years after the fact because the whole idea is to make a difference. You know, people like to help other people in large or small ways during the holidays, of course. And we may drop our change in a charity basket, or we may purchase a gift for a needy child, or we might even donate to a favorite organization. Getting involved, making a difference, doing something instead of being so internally focused, man, focus outward, because I'm telling you, the gift of giving, man, it has a real nice way of resonating because you know, if you're giving away something special, you know, it can bring back those good memories. It can bring back those wonderful feelings that you want to pass that blessing off to someone else. You know, these are the things that can help us feel like we're contributing to the greater good instead of our own sadness. You know, helping improve the lives of others, it can help really take the focus off of your life. You're still dealing with your loss. You're still dealing with your moment, but you're dealing with it in a healthier way. You know, there's a lot of studies out there that show that volunteering can be very beneficial to our mental health, particularly as we get older. So if you're struggling this year, I want you to consider volunteering anywhere, whatever realm that you feel comfortable. If you want to contribute, if you want to volunteer at a nursing home or a hospital or a hospice, a children's shelter, a soup kitchen. Maybe you want to get into Little League baseball or you want to get into the rodeo circuit, whatever it is, man, volunteer wherever you can, because I promise you, there's always going to be people who need help and maybe you can help others by helping yourself first. You can find a way to help other family members or friends who may need it, of course, but any of these things, they can prove very cathartic. They can help the healing process that you're going through. But the one thing you must always remember is you got to stop making those comparisons. You know, it's easy to, especially in the social media age, right? It's easy to see other people or families enjoying holiday festivities. And what happens is we start to compare our experiences to what we feel during this difficult time. Man, look at that family. You got a nice tree up. They got holiday decorations. They've got family. They've got friends. They've got smiles. They all dress pretty. They look wonderful. And here I am by myself, no tree, no presents, no friends, no family, no nothing. What a loser I am, right? Stop making comparisons because it makes you feel worse or that you're lacking some kind of fashion sense, right? But you need to keep in mind, the holidays are stressful for most people. And they rely on the magical gatherings depicted in greeting cards, movies, or television. You should try to embrace what you have rather than compare, you know, compare it to what you think that others have. Because I promise you, what you see on social media is not the real person. A lot of people don't put their struggles out on social media. Others do for attention, or others do for a call for help. But man, don't believe that snapshot you see on your social media. You know, because of your grief, these holidays might prove to be a very difficult experience, and that's fine. But you're going to need to get through it. You need to come out on the other side stronger than ever before, and the only way to get there is to get through it. Pain demands to be felt. You don't necessarily have to enjoy the holidays or even go through the motions of pretending to enjoy the festivities. But that said, it's also fine to have a good time in spite of your grief. I'm going to say that again because it's important. It's fine to have a good time in spite of your grief. I mean, if happiness just somehow slips through your window of grief, allow it to happen. Enjoy the moment. Just because you're smiling today doesn't mean you're not missing that person as well. Two things can be right at the same time. You're not going to be doing you or your loved ones any favors. You're going to be doing them all an injustice by presenting something that you're not. You're not going to be committing some atrocity or some injustice by celebrating what you have and remembering what you don't. You know, the best gift that you can give anyone you love is being true to who you are. Live your life to the fullest, even as you adjust to the loss and remember your loved ones. But even during the best of times, man, the holidays, they are stressful, they are exhausting. And if you're facing the holidays after death of a loved one, you know, celebrating may be the furthest thing from your mind. I actually saw a post this morning, a young lady who lost a loved one. She lost one of her kids. He was a police officer. She lost one of her kids, and she put it very, very plain, on social media that she is not celebrating Thanksgiving or Christmas. She just can't do it. And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, it's okay to take that pause, to use that first year of holidays as a moment to grieve, but also use those as moments to remember what you were doing on the last holiday you had them. You know, that right there in itself has its own way of creating its own joy. You know, you may wonder if you'll ever enjoy these holidays again as you're going through your moments, and I promise you, you will. It just won't be the same. But, you know, different's not always bad. But you got to give yourself permission. Give yourself permission to grieve. Take time to care for yourself. Find new ways to celebrate the holidays and the deceased. You can get through this holiday season, I promise you. But I want you to, I've hit it a lot, you know. I don't want you to be surprised if you feel your grief more acutely during this first round. No matter what holiday it is, even if the holidays weren't a big deal for you and your loved one, you know, maybe this year it is because, you know, we didn't care. We used to not give a crap about Valentine's Day together, and now we can't. I don't have this person with me. I mean, it can be tough. You know, witnessing everybody getting together with family for holidays, it can trigger these feelings of loss that you may have really done a good job of ignoring so far. But, you know, some emotions, they can't be suppressed very long. So don't force yourself to take part in the holiday celebrations if you don't feel ready. There's nothing wrong with declining invitations to protect your own mental health as long as you don't stay secluded forever. Yo, I got a list of holidays written here. Kind of some of the journey for this year. You know, the first New Year's has yet to come, but you know, the New Year, it's a time of renewal, a new beginning. So what I want you to do is I want you to use it. That's what I'm going to do this New Year's without, you know, my first one without Bill. Use this year, the New Year's, as a renewal. new beginning. And I want you to use it as such. This isn't where we're talking about doing these New Year's resolutions. No, I'm talking about setting actual goals that you're going to follow through with. Set goals for your life that without your loved one, and decide how you're going to conquer this year solo. I know it's a scary idea. It's a scary concept, but it can be done. It's done every day. And I promise you, you're not doing it by yourself. You're not paving the way for you're not making your own way. You can look at there's a whole bunch of trails out there you can follow. Just go look for them. I mean, is it time to join a gym or maybe write out a budget or maybe even start pursuing a hobby that you've always had an interest in doing? I think so. You know, setting goals can be incredibly therapeutic, especially when you get to checking them off that you actually completed that goal. To be therapeutic during emotional times, it compels you to look forward, look for that next goal. You know, if your loved one that you lost this year was your spouse or your partner, you know, the first Valentine's Day after they pass, it can feel very, very particularly brutal, but it doesn't have to be that way. What I want you to do is I want you to focus on the love aspect instead of the romance. Show love in other ways. Volunteer with a local organization. Spend time with retirement home residents or a community garden. I promise you, those people in these nursing homes, they are usually put in there and they're forgotten about. So they would be happy to see your smiling face. And this gives you an outlet to give some love without really being romantic. Don't use Valentine's Day as a catalyst to start dating. I mean, if you're not ready yet, take your time. Yo, Easter is another holiday we have here. You know, as Christians, we celebrate Christ rising from the dead on Easter. And this can certainly make it feel, you know, a challenging holiday to face after a death. You know, I mean, if you have faith, you need to focus on your faith during any time. But I encourage you, get out there and attend those Easter services. They're typically optimistic. They're positive. And if you don't have faith, fine. Easter may be challenging simply because it's typically a family-centric holiday. So if you're up to it, spend it with your family. Spend it with your friends. You have people. You are not completely alone. When you talk about the first Mother or Father's Day, this is, you know, if the deceased was your parent, you know, honoring the holidays for your parents, it can be challenging. So you go into this holiday with some extra grace. Go into with some extra grace for your emotions because it's going to be tough. I mean, spend some time reflecting on your parent when they were alive. Tell some stories to your children, to your spouse. Swap stories with your siblings. The memories is what keeps these people alive. Take advantage of these holidays and do so. I mean, after all, a parent who's passed, they can stay alive through memories. We all can. You know, if Independence Day, you know, a lot of people, you know, it's usually typically a family fun holiday with your loved one. You know, a lot of folks who are grieving at this time, you know, they may feel very tempted to skip out on the fun because you feel strange or you feel guilty having fun without the person that you're missing. And it's important to keep in mind, you know, these holiday seasons and all others that having fun is not in opposition to your grief. You're not dishonoring, you know, the memory of your loved one by watching fireworks or waving a flag or kicking back and having a beer with your friends. Allow yourself to have fun. Because it's going to be beneficial to your mental health. I mean, if your community allows, you know, we just got through a trick or treating with Halloween. You know, this was a time where we actually took the moment to honor our loved one who passed this year by handing out their favorite type of candy. You know, seeing kids appreciate something that your loved one liked, it is cathartic. You know, alternatively, if your grief is too raw, you know, just place a bucket of candy on your porch and let the kids serve themselves so you don't have to deal with anyone. But you're still giving in the spirit of giving. You know, if your loved one was a veteran, you know, you may feel especially emotional on 11 days ago. You know, and I want you to understand it's normal and it's nothing to be ashamed about. You know, most cities, especially if you're anywhere near a military installation, they got Veterans Day celebrations. And, you know, consider attending any celebration honoring veterans. If your loved one is a veteran, consider attending those celebrations in their honor, in their stead. It can make it a positive experience. I mean, and if you cry, you won't look out of place because there's a lot of people who's emotionally moved at these events. But Thanksgiving, here we are. Thanksgiving's in 4 days, I think. You know, since Thanksgiving's largely about spending time with your family, It can be particularly difficult, you know, after the death of a loved one. And I really argue that only you can decide if you're ready to join anyone else in the big meal or if you just need time to yourself. Take the time to honestly analyze your true feelings. It's going to make you, you know, will being alone make you feel sad or will being around others make you feel worse? You need to honor whatever stage of grief you're in and make your plans accordingly. You know, Kwanzaa, you know, for those of you who serve Kwanzaa, which promotes community and unity, you know, if you're feeling up to it, attend Kwanzaa celebrations with family and friends and help you feel more as a part of your community with people around you. You'd be surprised at how much the community can elevate you. You know, because Kwanzaa is not based in a religion requiring observation, it's fine to skip celebrating if you don't feel as though you can handle it. But another one is Hanukkah, right? Because it's centered around finding hope in desperate situations. Participating in Hanukkah observances is completely appropriate for someone who's grieving. You know, those grieving during Hanukkah, you know, during this time, they're typically encouraged to seek out help from those around them as part of a Hanukkah tradition. Take advantage of the community because they're going to be receptive. But if Hanukkah gatherings prove too emotionally painful or to observe, you know, you may observe the traditional 12 months of mourning, particularly and participating, you know, it may actually make you feel wrong. But Christmas is one of the biggest holidays, you know, in our Western world, and it's difficult to escape while mourning the loss of a loved one. It's important to remember during this time, listen to your emotions. If being with other people seems weird or too stressful, man, it's okay to politely decline an invitation. Don't allow your friends and your family who probably feel as if they're helping you. Don't allow these people to force you into attending any holiday event if you know your heart just can't handle it yet. But on the other hand, don't automatically assume Christmas is going to be awful without your loved one. Open your heart. Allow yourself to enjoy the season if it's a season that typically brings you joy. And ladies and gentlemen, that's the breakdown. Stick around. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to get to this last segment, one final thing.
Oh, look, Dave from accounts is back at work. He's been off for ages with some kind of mental illness. That's an awkward one. Should I say anything? I don't know how I react.
All right, Dave. Good to see you back, mate. How you feeling?
How am I feeling?
Hang on, I've got to take this call.
Hi, yeah! Got some idiot here who's just asked me how I'm feeling!
How am I feeling?
How am I feeling?
Sorry, I'm just off home because I'm a bit late for dinner.
Okay.
All right. See you later.
How am I feeling? Pretty good, thanks. Yeah.
Good days and bad days, but yeah, glad to be back at work. Cheers for asking.
No worries.
How are things with you?
Yeah, great. Can't complain.
Yeah.
I've been busy as always.
All right, guys, and one final thing I want to cover, you know, how you can have a better holiday season as we step into this this tumultuous time, you know, with family and friends and expectations. You'll find ways to cope with the heightened demands of the holiday gatherings or fill in the gap where they're not. You know, that right there, I think, is the key to surviving the season with the effect intact. And it can be challenging, I understand, because one's coping strategies may be the first things that fall to the wayside in a busy holiday season. For example, you know, some people may find that going to the gym, it helps them manage stress, but they can't find time for their regular workout. You know, keeping expectations manageable and setting time aside for the things that count, that is what's critical, even if it means letting go of some less important engagements or activities. But first, it's difficult, you know, to hide depression. If you've ever tried, you know what I'm talking about. You know, the likelihood is that someone is going to notice that you're not yourself. And if you got close people in your household, you need to let them help you tell other people in the family that you're having a hard time. You know, you may, you know, because, you know, sometimes going through having that third person step out there for you and speak for you. You know, a lot of people just, they go recluse and they isolate because they don't want to have the conversation. Hey, I'm having a hard time and this is why. When they just want to say, I'm having a hard time and leave it alone. They don't want to do any explanations. So maybe you might want to consider reach out to a third party, reach out to a third person, someone in your family to tell the rest of the family, hey, look, you know, not this year, nothing personal, but we just got some stuff going on. You know, you might want to have others take on more of the work of preparing the holiday and accept gracefully. Because it's the case that, you know, that people are usually trying to help because they are concerned. If you're depressed, you need to be sure to get the help you need. You know, therapy, I used to be a huge opponent of therapy, but I've come to realize as I'm getting older that it's really very effective for depression, as are some of the medications. I mean, if you develop thoughts about ending your life, you need to let someone know right away. Call a helpline. Go to emergency room for evaluation. Call me, 409-245-9753. My number's always on. If you need help, man, let me know. But, you know, being more open and more honest about depression, that is the most helpful. You don't have to put energy into hiding feelings. Because as human beings, we're social animals, and we almost always do better with other people than without them. Now, while this holiday season, it brings about joy and celebration, it can also be a time of great sadness and pain. Because traditions and family members, or traditions and family memories, they intensify the grief. You know, the season is truly bittersweet. Memories, sweet memories of a loved one combined with the reality of their loss. You know, the holiday season after my grandfather passed, it was very, very typical. The family carried on, they celebrated, they enjoyed the holiday as much as any other. It was as if he was still in the room. And I remember his empty chair, you know, right there beside the table. You know, the lack of his warm smile and even warmer hug. But where I really noticed his absence was at, you know, of all the places, the front porch swing. You know, at the end of our family meal, he would walk outside with his cup of coffee and have his after-dinner mint, his smoke. You know, and that's usually where he stayed for the majority of the day, you know, taking in the country atmosphere, watching us kids play in the yard. And it was the porch swing that was the center of the universe for a lot of my childhood, because I'd see him sitting there with my grandmother and telling family stories. Maybe he was picking his guitar, or maybe he's taking time to spread the gospel of God's love because he was a preacher. But that Christmas, yeah, I missed and I even grieved his quiet act of strength and honor. And it surprised me how grief unexpectedly washed over me in the absence of this small act of service that I'd had my whole life. And to this day, I still think about that old porch swing, and I envision my grandpa from so many years ago as my way of making contact with his memory and with him again. And that's the point that I think most people lose in their grief. Our loved ones haven't completely perished because we're keeping them alive in our thoughts and in our hearts. I know it's not the same because they're not here physically, and that's our biggest want. But what we want and what we need, they're not always the same. The best we can do is embrace those memories and those moments as they come along and trust that it won't get any easier as the years pass. You just figure it out to different ways to cope. Grieving the loss of a loved one is difficult to experience at any time of the year. However, during the holiday season, man, we're often reminded of our loss through family traditions and celebrations as the ever-present push to get into that holiday spirit. We associate the holidays with good times and special memories, making us all more likely to miss our loved ones even more this time of year. You know, there's nearly endless blog posts and articles and books and support groups and seminars that focus all on the topic of holiday grief. Hell, I do shows on this about this time every year. You know, grief has a way of sneaking up on us because we're not looking for it. And just when it seems things start to seem like they're getting better, a familiar song, a whiff of perfume, an old photograph can innocently trigger that memory. And instantly, we're pierced with pain. You know, coping such a loss is even harder during the holidays. You know, what used to be a festive time of decorations and parties, laughter and togetherness, it all just now seems sort of meaningless. You know, we're paralyzed by the thought of shopping and socializing. You know, how can we continue old traditions like nothing has changed? Because everything has changed. There's no miracle pill to take away the pain. There's no magic wand that restores the sparkle of the season. But grief experts are saying over and over again that there's ways to survive the holidays and celebrate moments. Honor the old, create the new. No matter what you do, the memory of your loved one is going to be with you this holiday season. Find a way to honor and acknowledge that while creating new family traditions to share moving forward. Set limits for yourself. Let everyone know that you're not going to be overdoing, you're not going to be over shopping or over cooking or over pleasing or over worrying this year. This is not a time to be a perfectionist. Accept help when it's offered. Plan ahead. Don't be afraid to say no. Choose activities that'll make the holidays enjoyable for you. Now, do a few special things with a few special people, but not everything with everybody. It's essential to nurture yourself during this vulnerable time. Grief is not something that's going to be conquered alone. Now, although it's true that life will never be the same, it's also true that people do heal after losing a loved one. It doesn't happen quickly, but recovery is ahead. Hope is on the way. It's not easy, but you can find hope and happiness again. Ladies and gentlemen, again, this is going to be my only show for the week. Thank you. Thank you so much for your support. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you so much for being a part of my show, for helping me keep my purpose in line. And that is to try to help people. I want to educate people. I want to open people's eyes to what's going on in this world, but not just the entire world, but what's going on in their world. You know, that 6 inches of gray matter between their earlobes. Now, I appreciate each and every one of you for being a part of this show, to a show that seeks to not only provide that middle ground analysis, but to remain consistent to the inconvenient truth that so many people refuse to see. Don't let these expectations of other people dictate your happiness. Take your time, walk your race, or run your race if you want. This is your journey, not mine, not your mom's, not your significant other's, nobody's. It's your journey, yours alone, and only you can decide what is best for you. I know one of the things that I'm thankful for on this this coming Thanksgiving, you know, for episode 306, I'll say that, man, I'm so thankful for the growth that we've experienced on this show. And we're getting bigger, you know, a lot slower than I wanted. You know, we're growing slower than I wanted, but we're growing. We're getting new visitors. We're getting new listeners. We're getting new watchers. We're getting new people who are engaging. More conversations. More people are writing me emails and shooting me private messages. And man, I'm telling you, that is truly a blessing to know that I get to be a part of something that's bigger than me. So until next time, friends, thank you so much for your service and patriotism to this country. Without our men and women in uniform, our veteran community, and great Americans like you, our country would be a very different place. We're the only ones who stand between freedom and chaos. And I'm not talking about just out on the social issues, but I'm talking about right here in your brain, man, the freedom and chaos, the freedom of grief and depression and anxiety and suffering, the freedom of the chaos of the anxiety, suffering, and depression, I should say. But as always, friends, this holiday season, man, do not let your dog tags dangle in the dirt. Stay on your feet. Continue to fight that good fight against everything that's wrong. All those intrusive thoughts that you got going on in your head, they're wrong. I promise you. 409-245-9753 is the number. If I don't answer, leave a message, shoot a text, whatever, I will get back with you because you are not alone. I promise you that. If you love your freedom, ladies and gentlemen, thank a veteran. If you love your peace, thank a police officer. And if you see a first responder, give them a high five and a handshake and tell them job well done, because they're all out there doing a very thankless job so we can have the resources we need when we need them. God bless each and every one of you. God bless the United States of America. Have a happy, blessed, and calm Thanksgiving. Catch me every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 5 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time right here. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Philip Blackman. Y'all have a happy Thanksgiving. I'm out of here.